I'll be reading from the King James Version, Romans chapter 8 and verse 31. Romans 8 and verse 31. What shall we then say to these things? If God be with us, who can be against us?
Good evening. It's certainly a blessing to be in your presence again. Hope everyone had a wonderful afternoon, and there's no better place than you can be this evening to be in the Lord's house to worship and serve our Heavenly Father. I want to thank again the elders for the invitation to come and to be with you all today. It's been an awesome, tremendous experience. We had the great pleasure of spending the afternoon with Ron and Nancy and Dale and Sue at lunch and over at Ron and Nancy's home. And we're certainly thankful for the hospitality and the generosity shown to our family. Our oldest, Alexis, kept saying to me, "I love this church. I want to come back." And we hope that our paths will cross again sometime soon. If you're ever in the Dayton area, the doors are always welcome for you and your family at the Inglewood Congregation. The doors are always open at our house for you and your family if you're ever coming through the Dayton area. That invitation is always on the table for you and your family. Appreciate Brother Matt leading us in that song. We're going to look at someone in the Old Testament this evening who had faith. He had strong faith in the Lord, and he was victorious. If you have your Bibles, I invite you to open up to 1 Samuel chapter 17. 1 Samuel chapter 17, that will be our primary text tonight. We're going to look at the story of David and Goliath. We won't take the time to read the entire chapter. We're going to pull out excerpts from that chapter and look at some lessons that we can learn from David and the attitude and the mindset that he had as a young man going against someone the size of Goliath. And kind of and the attitude that we can, we too can have when we face our Goliath. For those of you who are college football fans, this gentleman behind me on the screen, his name was James Ralph Shug Jordan. He was the head coach at Auburn University from 1951 to 1975. He has the most wins of any coach in Auburn history. He won the national championship in 1957. He was inducted into the College Football Hall of Fame in 1982, 2 years after he died. One of his most famous inspirational quotes was, "Always remember, Goliath was a 40-point favorite over David." And this hung, or that was plastered on the wall of the Auburn football training complex for years and years and years. It was painted on the entrance of that complex. As a reminder to those athletes walking into that complex that you are never, ever an underdog. You're not an underdog with God on your side. And it taught those players and it teaches us today that there is no battle too big for our God. There's no battle too big for us that we can't handle if God is on our side. The odds were stacked against David. On paper, David had no shot at all against Goliath. But he had God on his side. The story of David and Goliath teaches us that there is no battle too big for our God. We serve a faithful Lord who's able to defend whatever struggle, whatever pain, whatever heartache, difficult situation that life may toss our way. As Christians, we remember that with Christ in our hearts, we are winners. That God will intercede and see us through any storm. Can you imagine in your minds what would have happened in the David versus Goliath battle if David's thoughts were negative? If he in his mind thought that he had absolutely no shot at defeating Goliath. David believed he could fight Goliath. He believed he could fight Goliath successfully because of the ultimate faith that he had in God. He was confident he was going to be the victor. So let's take some time here. Look at some of the verses here in 1 Samuel chapter 17. 1 Samuel chapter 17 is one of the most familiar Bible stories in all of Scripture. I'm sure you can pick out any one of the little ones in our audience tonight, and you could quiz them about David and Goliath, and they'd be able to tell you facts about that story. We all know this story, but let's see if we can draw some lessons from 1 Samuel chapter 17, how we can apply it in our lives today. David has just been anointed to be Israel's next king. And we see here Saul's army is battling against the Philistine army. And beginning of verse 1, now the Philistines gathered their armies together to battle and were gathered at Soko, which belongs to Judah, then encamped between Soko and Azekah and Ephes-Damon. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together, and they encamped in the valley of Elah and drew up in battle array against the Philistines. The Philistines stood on a mountain on one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side with a valley between them. So we can envision in our minds two mountains with a very large valley running between them. On the one mountain you have the Israelites, and on the other mountain you have the Philistines. Continuing on in verse 4, and the champion went out from the camp of the Philistines named Goliath from Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. He had a bronze helmet on his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail. The weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of bronze. And he had bronze armor on his legs and a bronze javelin between his shoulders. Now the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his iron spearhead weighed 600 shekels, and a shield bearer went before him. Then he stood and cried out to the armies of Israel and said to them, why have you come out to line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine and you the servants of Saul? Choose a man for yourselves and let him come down to me. If he is able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants and serve us. In verse 10, and the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. When Saul and all Israel heard these things of the Philistine, they were dismayed and they were greatly, greatly afraid. They were scared. They were scared of this giant. So they're sizing each other up. We can picture this in our minds, can't we? The champion warrior comes out of the Philistine camp. And this Hebrew expression is literally a man who is a go-between, meaning a warrior who will fight in a single combat as a stand-in for the entire army. And his opponent should be as strong as he is. The most likely person to serve in this role was Saul. We go back to chapter 9 and verse 2, we read of Saul as someone who stood head and shoulders over his countrymen. It made sense for Saul to be the one to go up against Goliath. But we know that Saul made no move at all to take on the giant. No one wanted to take him on one-on-one. His size, 9 feet, 6 inches tall. Goliath was covered with the best armor of the day. His armor weighed 125 pounds, 150 pounds. He had a shield, which was carried by someone else. We read there in verse 7 and later on in verse 41. The head of his spear weighed 17 pounds. He was a war machine. He was a monstrous sight, an intimidating figure. So in all his fierceness, he stands before the Israelites, taunting them. His defiant taunts were as much against the God of Israel as against the fighters. He wanted them to send out their champion to fight to decide the battle. And they were greatly afraid when they heard those words. So moving on to verse 12, David arrives on the scene. His older brothers were in Saul's army. His father Jesse sends them to check on his brother's welfare. Go take them food. As David comes near and greets his brothers, Goliath comes forth and he taunts the Israelites as he had been doing for 40 days. Let's read verses 23 through 27. 1 Samuel chapter 17, 23 through 27. Then as he talked with them, there was the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, coming up from the armies of the Philistines. And he spoke according to the same words. So now David gets to hear them. In verse 24, and all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, they fled from him, and they were dreadfully afraid. So the men of Israel said, "Have you seen this man who has come up? Surely he has come up to defy Israel. And it shall be that the man who kills him, the king will enrich him with great riches, will give him his daughter, and give his father's house exemption from taxes in Israel." Then David spoke to the men who stood by him, saying, "What shall be done for the man who kills the Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" And the people answered him in this manner, saying, "So shall it be done for the man who kills him." The people tell David that Saul has offered his daughter in marriage. He's offered wealth. He's offered exemption from taxes to anyone who can defeat Goliath, to anyone who can defeat the giant. So how does David respond? Verses 31 through 37. And when the words which David spoke were heard, they reported them to Saul, and he sent for them. Then David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "You are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are a youth, and he a man of war from his youth." But David said to Saul, "Your servant used to keep his father's sheep. When a lion or bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went out after it and struck it, and delivered the lamb from its mouth, and when it arose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck and killed it. Your servant has killed both lion and bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God." In verse 37, "Moreover, David said, 'The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of the Philistine.' And Saul said to David, 'Go, and the Lord be with you.'" David volunteers to fight Goliath. And David recognized this was an opportunity for God to display his power. And David's past victories that we read there in verses 36 and 37, it gave David confidence. He put his faith in God that he would be victorious over Goliath. David is armed for the fight. In verses 38 through 40. So Saul clothed David with his armor, and he put a bronze helmet on his head. He also clothed him with a coat of mail. David fastened his sword to his armor and tried to walk, for he had not tested them. And David said to Saul, "I can't walk with these, for I haven't tested them." So David took them off. Then he took his staff in his hand and chose for himself 5 smooth stones from the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag and a pouch which he had, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near the Philistine. David is armed for the fight. He's prepared for the fight. But instead of putting on his own armor, trusting God and going to battle, Saul put his armor on David. "Here, David, try on my armor. See if that fits." Saul easily could have been the one who put his faith and trust in God, standing head and shoulders over his countrymen. But he tries to put on the armor on David. But David was not accustomed to wearing the armor, and he takes it off. He couldn't walk in it, much less fight in it. Instead of the armor, David prepares to face him as a shepherd, with his staff, with a slingshot, and 5 smooth stones he gathers from the brook. We read through the end of the chapter, David defeating Goliath. I would encourage you to take some time, perhaps this week, to read the remainder of this chapter. We're going to look at some other verses, the remainder of that chapter here in a moment. But we won't take the time this evening to read through the end of the chapter in its entirety. But I want us to really focus on, think of the reaction. Goliath's reaction to David when he sees David approach him. The appearance of a boy as a young man as his challenger, it offended Goliath. He was offended by the fact that this young boy would come out and challenge him. Goliath treats David as contemptible. But think about David's reaction. He knew that he was leaning on God. He knew that he was depending on God in this battle. And his intention was to demonstrate that God exists. He protects his own. He delivers his own, even against overwhelming odds. So small in stature, we know the end of the story. David strikes Goliath in the forehead, drops him to the ground, killing him in the spot, and cuts off his head. He uses Goliath's own spear to cut off Goliath's head. A decisive sign to the Philistines that David was victorious. I want us to think of some lessons that we can take away from this story. Number one is David fought for the Lord. In verse 32, then David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine. David fought for the Lord. David had seen when he came to the camp how all of Israel was afraid. They were scared of Goliath. David knew it was up to him. Goliath had defied the armies of God, and David knew that he had to be taken down. David had a heart for God. What made him upset was not the armies look bad, not the fact that they were scared, but that the armies of the living God had looked bad. God had been defied. We know that in our day and age, that fighting for the Lord isn't done in a physical battle. It's done in a spiritual battle. Let's consider some of these examples. Noah, he fought for the Lord, even though he and his family were the only righteous ones left on the earth. Abraham was willing to do whatever the Lord required of him without question. Joseph stands his ground against Potiphar's wife. In Genesis chapter 39 and verse 9, how can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? As Potiphar's wife tries to seduce him and tempt him, the only thing that was on Joseph's mind was, how can I sin against the God who has done so much for me, who has blessed me so much? John the Baptist lost his head for fighting for the truth and morality. Peter and the apostles, they fought for the Lord. Acts chapter 5 and verse 29, we ought to obey God rather than men. Great men and women of the faith went through great hardships in fighting for the Lord. They were stoned, they were tortured, they were imprisoned, and even suffered death for the cause of Christ. Are we willing to stand up and fight for the Lord, just like these great individuals of the past have done? David put his faith and trust in the Lord, and he won. And he was victorious. Let's jump back to verse 16. The lack of trust in God was the very reason that all of Saul's army was afraid to meet Goliath in battle. In verse 16, and the Philistine drew near and presented himself 40 days morning and evening. Every day was the same. It's like a broken record. Every single day, the same thing would occur morning and evening. David, though, he trusted in God and was willing to face such an awesome task. One reason is David saw what God saw. Why did the Israelites quake in fear before Goliath? Because they saw what man saw. They saw a giant. They saw a Goliath who had been trained in battle since his youth. In verse 26, What shall be done for the man who kills the Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? What did David see? He saw what God saw. He saw someone who had defied God. Let's see what God sees when we face our Goliath, our enemies, as no match for us, that we too can be victorious. Another reason is that David was willing to listen to God. David was willing to listen to God, and he was willing to listen to God first and foremost. Look at verse 28. Now Eliab, his older brother, heard when he spoke to the men, and Eliab's anger was aroused against David. He said, "Why did you come down here? And with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your pride and the insolence of your heart, for you have come down to see the battle." You're only here because you're curious. You're only here because you want to stick your nose into what's going on. His older brother belittles him. He's very short and he's very abrupt with David. Saul, he was negative as well in verse 33. And Saul said to David, "You aren't able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are a youth and a man of war, and he is a man of war from his youth." You've got his older brother belittling him. You've got Saul, negative, unsupportive of David. But David didn't listen to these men. He easily could have. He could have succumbed to the pressure and given up. But he listened to God. God wants his children to listen to him instead of detractors, liars, false teachers. He wants his children to listen to him and apply it. Where do we go to for advice? Where do we go to for counsel when we're in trouble? When we face our Goliath today, who do we go to? Where do we go to? David had trusted in the Lord before and was not let down. Without trust in God, David would have been just like any other Israelite. He acknowledges God. When David explains to Saul why he was willing to fight, why he was willing to go into battle against Goliath, he tells of the lions and bears he had beaten when he was shepherding his sheep. David wasn't basing his future victory on his past power, strength, and might. He was basing his future victory on God, who had delivered him in the past. He had acknowledged God was the real reason he had been victorious and the real reason he would be victorious. Think about all the past battles you've won with God on your side. Think of all the temptations that you've resisted. We forget God's past deliverance. It diminishes our confidence in the face of present conflict. God wants his children to be like David, to acknowledge where that real strength, that real power lie. And that's with God. We need that same trust that David has, clearly seen there in verse 47. 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 47. "Then all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands." The battle is the Lord's. Put the contest in the proper perspective, that God is in control. We need the same type of trust today. Let's jump ahead. If you have a bookmark in your Bible, please keep it there at 1 Samuel, but let's look at James chapter 1. James chapter 1. God is in control. He was in control in David's battle versus Goliath. He's still in control today. James chapter 1, 2 through 4. "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him." Then jump down to verse 12. "Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love Him. We need this same type of trust today in times of adversity. That was a time of adversity in David's life because he was presented with a tremendous monumental challenge. We know today that troubles will arise. We know that difficulties will arise in our lives. But know this, those troubles and those difficulties, they are a tool which refines and purifies our faith. It produces those godly qualities like endurance and patience. It's essential if we want to mature as a child of God. David's trust in God is clearly seen because he trusts God over men. The Israelites were putting trust in themselves, and they were afraid. Man will let us down. God will not. Let's go back to our text there in 1 Samuel 17:45 and 46. David knew that he was standing on the shoulders of God. In 45 and 46, and David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword, you come to me with a spear and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel." Today's language, we call that trash talking. David was trash talking to Goliath. He was confident in his words to him prior to that battle, because he knew he was standing on the shoulders of God. Goliath thought he was standing on his own legs. His legs, physical legs, made him tower above everyone in sight. David knew this battle would not be won by his power, but by God's. And God's not looking for the strongest physically to serve him. He's not looking for the tallest or the shortest. He wants his children to humble themselves, to admit they need him, to admit they need strength from him. He wants his children to realize they are standing on him. And even when they're young. In verse 33, Saul said to David, "You are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are a youth, and he a man of war from his youth." God used David to defeat Goliath, even though he was, as Saul calls him, but a youth. There's much lesson that we can take away from that. That no matter your age, you can be a productive member of the Lord's church. Goliath mocks David. Moving on to verses 42 and 44. When the Philistine looked about and he saw David, he disdained him, for he was only a youth, ruddy and good looking. So the Philistine said to David, "Am I a dog that you come to me with sticks?" The Philistine cursed David by his gods. The Philistine said to David, "Come to me and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field." Goliath saw someone who was young. Goliath saw David as someone who lacked the signs of age. Where are his scars? Where are his battle scars? Where are the signs that he has been a battle-tested warrior? He had a stereotypical idea in his mind of what David should have looked like. Goliath was furious. In verse 40, he took his staff in his hand. He chose for himself five smooth stones from the brook. He puts them in a shepherd's bag in a pouch, which he had, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. Goliath was furious when he saw David's staff. He came to him as a shepherd and appeared as if David were out to beat a dog instead of a giant. No matter our age, we can do great things for the Lord. David didn't allow his age to stop him or stand in the way of serving the Lord. Even when we are alone, even when we are alone. In verse 41, so the Philistine came and began drawing near to David, and the man who bore the shield went before him. We need to be like David. He fought for the Lord even when no one else would. David stepped onto that battlefield alone. He didn't wait for Saul. He didn't wait for the army to step in and provide any backup. He had verbally encouraged others, trying to get them to see that Goliath was no match for God, but nobody else took that initial step except David. God wants his children to take action, even when we are alone. He wants us to quit looking around and waiting for others to step up. He's looking for his children to step onto the battlefield, sling in hand, ready to defend his majesty. He doesn't want his children to sit around and complain while the state of morality continues to decay. Families fall apart. We're losing brethren to the devil. And even we at times will dwell on our own mistakes, on our own sins. He wants his children to put their trust in him. So when we step onto the battlefield, even by ourselves, we will win. David went into this battle prepared. We just read verse 40. The time that he takes to prepare for this battle. Why does he take that time to prepare? Because he knew what he could do. And then he went and did it. Saul can't help but think like a warrior. Again, in verse 38, so Saul clothes David with his armor. He puts a bronze helmet on his head. He also clothes him with a coat of mail. David fastened his sword to his armor and tried to walk, for he had not tested them. And David said to Saul, I can't walk with these, for I haven't tested them. So David took them off. If David was going to set foot on the battlefield, Saul felt that he had to meet a certain standard. He tried to make David into himself, but there's no way that David could have done it physically. He couldn't even walk in that armor. Instead, he walks into the battlefield carrying a shepherd's staff, pouch, and sling. David didn't need to be Saul to be victorious. He didn't need to look like Goliath to be victorious. He needed to be David. He needed to do what he could do. God wants his children to be who they are and do what God has made them to do. Whatever those talents, whatever those abilities are, do them. Part of that preparation is confidence. Let's jump back to verse 11. When Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and they were greatly afraid. They were scared. The army was sick with dread. Perhaps the Israelites had forgotten the victories that God had given Israel in times past. But David didn't question. From the very beginning to the very end, David knew God would win. David knew the battle belonged to God. In fact, just because he is God, he had already won. But there is no defeating God. And it's that knowledge for us today that should govern each and every step that we take. God wants his children to have that same courage. Even we have setbacks. Even we have those troubles and difficulties that we read there in James chapter 1. God wins. David did not step onto the battlefield to impress Saul. He didn't step on the battlefield to impress the other soldiers or to even impress God. This was not David's work to show how awesome he was. It was to show how awesome God is. Throw me to Ephesians chapter 6, one of our final passages this evening. Ephesians chapter 6, 13 through 17. God was David's armor. But David still had to do his part and preparing himself. We've got to do our part. And God always wants us to do our part. Ephesians chapter 6, 13 through 17. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done it, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. We are in a battle today. We are in a spiritual warfare today. But we must prepare ourselves by putting on the whole armor of God. Each piece of the armor plays an important role in our spiritual battle. So as we close tonight, what is your spiritual battle? What is your Goliath? He doesn't stand 9 feet, 6 inches tall. He doesn't have 125 to 150 pounds of armor. But what is your Goliath? Brethren, we need to understand the war is on. The battle is raging. That Christianity is not a Sunday game like football. That it is a daily battle. We are in the Lord's army. It's easy for us to sit here in our pew in this building. But what about out there? What about outside these walls when Goliath is taunting us? Are you ready to fight the Goliath of your day? Sometimes Goliath is a coworker who mocks us because we're a child of God. Who mocks us because we're different. Sometimes Goliath is a classmate who tempts us to denounce Jesus and to turn from our Savior. Sometimes Goliath is a temptation of lust. It's a temptation to lie. Temptation of sexual immorality, cheating, gossip, stealing. Sometimes Goliath can be a brother or sister in Christ who stands in the way of growth, who stands in the way of victory. Sometimes Goliath is simply apathy, indifference, or procrastination that leads us to put off and ignore the battle. Are you ready to fight the Goliath of your day? Are you fully prepared like David was? Are you brimming with confidence like David was? Is your trust in the Lord? Will you be victorious like David? Remember, the odds were stacked against David. On paper, David didn't stand a chance, but he won and we will too. If God be for us, who can be against us? Romans chapter 8 and verse 31. I thank you again for your kind attention tonight. I encourage you again to think about your spiritual condition. The plan of salvation, if you're here this evening, you've never been baptized. The water is ready. Are you? You've heard the word. Do you believe it? If you believe it, you make that step to repent of your sins, to turn away from those sins and turn toward God. And you confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and you're baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You live faithfully. You begin that race, as we talked about this morning. We're going to face Goliath. We're going to face temptations. But it's having that confidence and assurance that God is on your side. But perhaps you're here this evening, you are a child of God, but you've stumbled along the way. You've sinned, you've made mistakes, and you want to restore your relationship with your Heavenly Father. This is the time to do it. This is the time to acknowledge those sins, to make things right with your relationship with God. And your brethren here will support you and encourage you, pray for you any way that they can. So think about your soul's condition tonight. If there's anything that the congregation can do for you, we invite you to come forward. We stand to sing the song. our brother Matt has chosen.